You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 491 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is Wednesday night into Thursday morning at this point in time, given the 8:30 p.m. Eastern time tip-off out there in Dallas, and a fun game to discuss here on the podcast. As always, we'll break it down from every angle. The Hawks fell by the final score of 114 to 107, but we will obviously go deeper than that, and a lot to come on what was, again, a very, very interesting game for Atlanta, and honestly, a pretty encouraging one despite the final result for the Hawks. So, at the top here, first things first, a couple of injuries. Obviously, the Hawks had five guys out in this game. A lot of that was discussed on our last podcast. If you went back and listened to that, please go ahead and do that and subscribe and all that fun stuff. But the one, I guess, mild surprise was between then and now was the fact that Jeremy Lin was ruled out prior to this game. He did travel. He was actually interviewed on the broadcast. He was going to be on this trip, and he actually could play later on in the road trip, along with Amari Spellman. I think it's possible could play as well there. But both those guys were sort of up in the air as of our last recording, so neither Lin nor Spellman played in this game. Left the Hawks pretty shorthanded, and as you'll find out here as we discuss the game, the bench was not exactly robust in terms of offense in this game. Even Lloyd Pierce referenced in his post-game address just the fact that the bench didn't really give them too much on the offensive side of the floor. Lin is the biggest absence there. Obviously, he's been very, very good in the recent past, especially. So, would have been nice to have him in this game. Might have changed the result. Honestly, with the way the rest of this game played out. But the starting five was very good, and we'll talk about that more. Just wanted to at least update you guys on what the latest is there. The Hawks don't play again until Friday, so we'll see if Lin or Spellman or both can make their return in that spot. As for the game itself, sort of an interesting slash slow start for Atlanta. The Mavs scored the first 5 points of the game. They also had a 12-5 opening run and scored 17 points in the first 5 minutes. Harrison Barnes actually made his first three shots. He was 3-3 for 9 points. A couple of those were blown assignments from Atlanta's defense. And, you know, full game-wise, the Hawks' defense was not great here, but I will say for most of the game, outside of the first 5 minutes and about the last eight, the Hawks were pretty decent defensively. The first 5 minutes, though, 17 points, got a big hole as a result of that. They went pretty clearly right after Trae Young. That was something we'll talk about throughout this game, I'm sure. But defensively, Trae gave good effort, I thought, in this game. But they were definitely picking on him quite a bit, probably more than I've seen most teams pick on him over the course of a game. Not a huge surprise there, given the way that Rick Carlisle is a very good coach. He picks on matchup advantages that the opposition might have. And Young was pretty much the biggest target whenever he was out on the floor. That's going to be a big theme throughout his career, and we've seen that so far this year, but I thought it was particularly stark in this game. And he battled, but something to just keep in mind moving forward. Rotationally, a couple of interesting things there. They actually went to Justin Anderson before Tyler Dorsey. Dorsey played more minutes in this game, but they did go to Anderson a couple different times, including ahead of Dorsey at both halves. They used Anderson on Luka Doncic defensively in that first quarter. First time since November 30th that Anderson had played in the first quarter of a game, so that's just something to mark down. He didn't play a ton, but they definitely did use him in this spot, which was not a huge surprise given how shorthanded the Hawks are, but he's not been playing a ton, at least in the last few games. A couple nice plays in the first quarter, and nice skip pass from DeAndre Bembry to Vince Carter for a three. Also, a couple of hiccups along the way. There was Dorsey getting beaten up by JJ Barea, I thought, defensively a little bit during his time off the bench. And just in general, the defense was not great in the first quarter, I will say. But still, I thought Kevin Huerter was aggressive early on. John Collins was kind of flying around, and some nice stuff in the first quarter from the Hawks. Kent Bazemore, especially, I thought was very, very good at the outset. He was probably the best player for the Hawks in that first quarter with 9 points. And the Hawks had 7 assists in the first quarter, which is nice. Only 44% shooting, but a pretty decent defensive effort for the last 6 minutes after the slow start, and John Collins got going a little bit. We'll talk about him more as we go on here. Second quarter, Trae Young actually came out of the gate and made a three on the first possession of the second quarter for the lead after only taking one shot in the first quarter, and then on the next trip, he did it again. He hit back-to-back threes, first time in a long time that's actually happened. Kind of amusingly, those were his only two threes of the game, but still a nice little stretch from Trae to hit back-to-back threes there. Offensive rebounding was huge for the Hawks in the entire second quarter, really the entire first half. Most of that was John Collins, but that kind of allowed the Hawks to sort of stay engaged offensively in that first half. I thought Young had a nice defensive possession against Dorian Finney-Smith at one point. He did fall asleep, though. It's kind of a reminder that rookies have to finish possessions, as Young defended well against Finney-Smith, and then sort of got beat up on a box-out miss against a bigger opponent, and he got a nice, easy lay-in after that. So positives and negatives there from his defense, I thought. That was a note that I wanted to pass along. Kevin Huerter had a couple of threes in the second quarter, which is very nice to see. He was very good throughout this game. We'll talk about him more later, but a couple of nice, sort of momentum shifting plays in that second quarter. John Collins in the first half was 6 of 17 shooting. 17 shots in the first half was a little bit jarring to see. I was not watching this game live early on. I had to catch up both during the second quarter and in halftime, sort of flying through this thing as I was a little bit late arriving as a result of work. And I didn't really notice it live until I got to halftime, saw the box score sort of updating in real time, and I was like, oh, 17 shot attempts. But he did have 6 offensive rebounds in the first half, which is I would say most of that was Collins just kind of being all over the place on the glass, getting he wasn't efficient in finishing them, obviously, but I thought it was not quite as bad as you would have thought given the way that his shooting was. And I have no issue at all with him shooting 17 times and a half if they're all there. And it wasn't like he was really forcing anything. It was kind of Collins getting beat up a little bit by some officiating. We'll talk about that more to be sure later on in the podcast. But I thought it wasn't a huge problem, honestly, that he was 6 of 17 in the first half because of the offensive rebound. He did have 12.8 rebounds as well before halftime. Trae Young had 8.6 assists before halftime. No turnovers, which is nice to see. And all told, Atlanta's defense held the Mavs without a single three in the second quarter, which is nice to see. A pretty good offensive showing, and the Hawks actually took a lead into halftime, which was not exactly the expected result in a game in which they were 10-point underdogs. Nice to see that in terms of the way they played there. Second half, things got a little bit interesting. Rick Carlisle got tossed. The opposing coach for the Mavericks was tossed early on in the third quarter for a quick ejection. The Hawks had a 9-0 run going that included the free throws as a result of that of his ejection. And at that point, Atlanta led by 6 points. But from there, it basically was all Mavs. That was kind of a turning point of sorts. I wouldn't necessarily put it all on that, but it was not really a full-blown coincidence, I wouldn't think, because from there, the game kind of flipped on its head. I'm always kind of loath to assign too much of a turning point sort of narrative to that, but it definitely did matter in terms of just when things shifted. Pretty sloppy from the Hawks in the early part of the third quarter on both ends of the floor, especially offensively, though. Aside from that 1-9-0 run, which was aided by the free throws, the Hawks had 8 turnovers in the first half, and they actually came out of the gate and committed 7 in the first 7 minutes of the third. That sort of led to a lot of what Dallas was trying to get accomplished. They went back to Anderson again before Dorsett. Didn't really last very long, though, because a 12-3 run for Dallas was capped by back-to-back threes from Doncic and J.J. Barea, and from there, Dallas was sort of in front for most of the rest of the way. Young had a nice, what would amount to a gorgeous reverse layup, and then actually was kind of at a crucial time because Dallas was kind of making a run, and after that, he actually made another really nice drive and finish over DeAndre Jordan during that same time period. So a couple of back-to-back finishes from Young. He had a third one pretty recently after that. So some really nice work from Young in the third quarter, I thought, offensively. Also, Tyler Dorsey had a great drop-off pass to Collins for a dunk. Dorsey's been much, much better in that way as a distributor since he's sort of rejoined the rotation in the last couple of games. Collins got his fourth foul with less than a minute to go in the third quarter. He was not replaced, which is kind of surprising to me, but they probably needed him in this game. And as you'll see at the end of this game, there was a lot of minutes to go around with the starters, and Collins ended up playing 36 minutes despite 5 fouls, and they probably needed all of those minutes, honestly. But the Hawks survived those turnovers. I thought only 8 turnovers in the quarter. I say only 8 because they had 7 in the first 7 minutes. So it did cool off there, but they still gave Dallas too many free possessions, I thought, in the third. And both Young and Bazemore had eight points each in that third quarter that were very, very important to keep the Hawks sort of engaged. They only lost the quarter by 4 points. It probably felt worse than that, but the fourth quarter was sort of more of the same. They strangely went to Jalen Adams to open the fourth quarter. I think part of that was because Bembry struggled offensively in the spot. He had been operating as a backup point guard, and they had not gone to Adams at all. In fact, he had not played the entire game, and they put him in Cole, which is kind of a weird thing. I probably would not have done that, and honestly, the minutes didn't go well. He was actually -7 in 3 minutes. That's not all Adams. I don't think he was just individually terrible or anything like that, but at the same time, sort of a weird spot for Pierce to go to him there. Pretty cold. It was probably a message of sorts to Bembry, who was not playing very well. I do think, though, it was kind of amusing that Bazemore got his fourth foul right after that, and they came back to Bembry with Adams because they were kind of short in the backcourt, as you might imagine here without Lynn. I probably wouldn't have gone to Adams, but I understand sort of what was going on there. The Mavs then scored the first 7 points of the fourth quarter to go up by 10. There was a 12-0 run overall from the end of the third and the start of the fourth from Dallas. That was a huge turning point. Kevin Herter actually hit like a pretty big three, I thought. But from there, Dallas scored four straight points. They went up by 11. And then from there, it was kind of back and forth in that 10 to 14 range for a lot of the fourth quarter. There was a big shot from Harrison Barnes to go up by 13 with under four to play. Felt like a dagger, honestly. But then the Hawks, you know, to their credit, battled back. They got within nine on a Bazemore shot, on a Bazemore three with 1:40 to go. A couple of technical fouls that were kind of weird there. A double technical foul on Trae Young and DeAndre Jordan. What didn't seem to be much there from people that were on the site and what the TV replay captured. And then moments later, Justin Anderson and Luka Doncic got double technical fouls as well. Seemed like the referees were trying to keep things on the up and up to a certain degree there. There was a lot of chippiness, I would say, in this game. I think they were probably a little bit overly cautious there, but some interesting whistles there. The Hawks did get within five, though, when Young found Herter in the corner for a three after Jordan missed a layup on the other end of the floor. So with 40 seconds to go, this game wasn't fully over, but then Trae missed a pretty deep, kind of bad three, honestly, at the end of that stretch, and that was kind of the end of the game as it was. Dallas did shoot 49% from the floor and 38% from three in the second half and got to the line 29 times after halftime. That's a pretty jarring number for a one-half sample, and that was a big topic of conversation after the game. I guess I'll reference that now. Lloyd Pierce was talking extensively about the officiating in the post-game press conference. He was not really asked exactly about that. There was a little bit of that, I guess. He kind of referenced it on his own a couple times, officiating the free throw disparity, especially for the game. Dallas attempted 43 free throws, and Atlanta attempted 14. So 43 to 14 was definitely a huge gap. Some of that's just intentional fouling down the end. Some of that's some scramble stuff, but still the gap was already sort of forming before that, and that was pretty jarring to see, as well as the fact that John Collins only took one free throw in a game in which he had nine offensive rebounds. It was certainly all over the place. He was officiated kind of interestingly, to put it sort of kindly in that way. I'm not a big officiating guy at this point in time. I'll point it out when it's bad, but I'm not, like, from a fan's perspective. I know a lot of Hawks fans were just kind of like throwing things in the second half of this game. I understand that because, again, I was about to say this, I'm not a huge officiating guy, but I thought it was pretty poorly officiated in favor of Dallas in this spot. I'm sure there's some bias there in terms of what the fan base was saying, obviously what the players and coaches are saying, but at the same time, I thought Dallas flopped quite a bit in this game, and I didn't think they were necessarily penalized for that, as well as the fact that they kind of were just beating up on Collins, especially on the interior. So, you know, playing on the road against a team that's better than you, it's going to happen sometimes, but I thought it was pretty slanted, and I'm not sure the Hawks win this game, but at the same time, it would have been closer had they got a couple more whistles, and I think Pierce and Trae Young and others mentioned that after the game, and what we could see from the Fox Sports broadcast. So just something to keep in mind there, because there was a lot of talk about that, and I think rightly so. You know, a lot of times when officiating is mentioned, I will say that it's probably overly mentioned, and this game kind of appropriate because of the way that the disparity played on the free throw line, especially. Like, Doncic took 15 free throws against 14 for the entire team for Atlanta. That's going to be something that you're going to be hearing about quite a bit in the next day or so. And it makes sense, honestly, just the way that the game was officiated was not great for the Hawks. You know, big picture stuff, it wasn't like the Hawks played badly. In fact, I think that this is one of their better games of the season. They lost by 7 points. They covered the spread, which doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But I thought the Hawks played well in this game. I mean, Dallas is better than Atlanta. It's not really a surprise to anyone that's been paying attention this season. But I thought Atlanta had a chance to win this game, realistically. I thought defensively they weren't terrible. They gave up a 112 offensive rating, which isn't good defensively by any means. But a lot of that was late. For the most of like the first three and a half quarters, they were holding Dallas in check. And then things sort of got off the rails in the final minutes. Still, I thought it was a pretty good defensive performance overall. They held guys in check. I mean, Doncic had 24 points and 10 rebounds and 6 assists, but it wasn't like he was super efficient. You know, other than the free throws, he wasn't great. 5 of 14 from the floor. Harrison Barnes made some shots, made some jumpers, but he wasn't like he was dominant. Barea kind of got wherever he wanted to. That's probably the one spot I would point out to say that the Hawks needed to do a better job on him, but he's tough to guard. He's been very, very good this year. So again, I don't think the Hawks were bad defensively, and even offensively, the starters were good. The bench was not, but you know, this is not the bench that's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be Jeremy Lin, who's a huge step up on guys like Adams, like Anderson, even Bembry. Sometimes offensively, Lynch is better than those guys in terms of running the offense and kind of doing his thing and scoring and being more efficient. So if they had Lin, it would have mattered, I'm sure, in this spot. But still, a pretty good performance from the Hawks. I think honestly, pretty good is probably underselling it. I think it's one of the better games of the season from the Hawks. Like, one of the top three or four performances of the year. Obviously, they have more wins than that, but just the way that they played start to finish, I think there was not really that huge lull. You know, this team's famously been horrible in the first and third quarters. They've been the worst team in the league in the first quarter, and the second worst team in the league in the third quarter. There really wasn't any of that. Some of the defense stuff in the first few minutes was definitely out there, and the third quarter was not always perfect, but they didn't get waxed by any means. And I think I'm sure I sound like an apologist, but I think the Hawks played well in this game. That's something that I have to point out just to be true to what I saw in this spot. Before we get to the individual stuff in this game, as we always do, I do want to take a moment to talk to you guys about the good folks at Action Heat, because Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. It heats on demand at the touch of a button, and you can control your entire environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels that are similar to a heated car seat that can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees, and they are powered by a rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours. You can even charge other gadgets like your phone while wearing them. That's pretty. It comes in pretty handy. I would say if you're trying to charge things. I know I'm always trying to charge things. That's very, very handy. It's sort of an addition to the other stuff that's going on with Action Heat clothing, and because it's perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. It's great for anyone who likes to work outside or ski or snowboard, or anybody that likes to just be outside, or anybody that hates to be cold, which I know a lot of people have that phobia. People don't like to be cold, and if you have heated clothing, that definitely kind of pushes back against that. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with the Action Heat clothing line, and actually also available in men's and women's stuff. It has great styles and models just released for this particular winter season. So make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth, and it's the perfect solution, Action Heat is, to keep you toasty and warm even in the most frigid winter weather. So if you want to check out more about Action Heat, go to actionheat.com/lockedon. actionheat.com/lockedon to get 20% off your entire order. actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20% on your entire order. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast today. All right, we're back with the individual stuff, as we always are. And we'll start on the bench, because it was not pretty in this game. Six guys played off the bench. The only guy that did not play that was active and available to play was Daniel Hamilton. No surprise there. Adams, I mentioned before, Jalen Adams only played 3 minutes. Not too much to write home about there. Also, Justin Anderson, 8 minutes of play. I thought he played pretty decent defense on Doncic. That was probably his biggest assignment when he came in the game. 2 points, 2 rebounds, and a steal for Anderson. But he still seems to be behind Dorsey in the pecking order, which makes sense, because Dorsey's been playing pretty well. Elsewhere on the bench, Dorsey, I guess we'll talk about him now as well. 1 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line for Tyler. He had 4 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. I think he's been playing much better than I thought he was going to play in the last couple of games when he's been playing. I've sort of enjoyed the way that he's been bringing energy. His rebounding has been good. That's always been a good trait of his as well, but I think he's been playing decent defense. He had a couple of rough matchups against Bray in this game, but aside from that, I thought Dorsey played pretty well despite the fact that he wasn't making shots. Alex Len was pretty quiet. 4 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist in 14 minutes. I didn't think he was bad, just didn't do too much to deter Dallas around the rim, which is probably why he needs to be out there and probably why he didn't play more in this spot. Vince Carter had a couple of nice sort of noteworthy moments, but still not really efficient for him. 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal in 14 minutes. The steal was very nice for Vince, but 1 of 4 from 3, 1 of 5 from the field. Not too great there from him. And finally, DeAndre Bembry, who played the most minutes off the bench, 18 minutes for Bembry. What actually went scoreless was 0 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. Did have 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 turnovers and 4 fouls. I thought Bembry's defense was actually pretty good, as it usually is. He's a very good defensive player, I think. Offensively, I think it's probably the single worst thing from the Hawks. I think someone asked me on Twitter after this game if anyone didn't play well, and I think Bembry's offense was probably the worst thing of anybody in this game. That's not a huge shot at him. Sometimes it's just going to happen to him, but offensively he had some really bad moments, 4 turnovers. I think his defense is definitely helpful, but this is not one of his better games in a recent past. Bembry has been very good recently, and actually I want to go ahead and pump out a post written by Glenn Willis over at PeachtreeHoops.com that I had the pleasure of editing, that was all about DeAndre finishing. Not a great advertisement for that in this game, I will say, but that's definitely worth a read, and I enjoyed that from Glenn. It was a nice deep dive into what Bembry needs to be doing moving forward. You guys want to check that out to be sure. But offensively, a rough one for Bembry, and defensively he just couldn't bring quite enough to sort of level that out in this spot. To the starters, all 5 starters played 32 minutes or more, which is a very big rarity, I would say. I think it might be the first time all season long that's happened. I should have looked that up. But the starters were used heavily, and that's what happens in a game when you're competitive on the road and you have to use your best players, and these are the Hawks' best players that were available in this spot. And the guy who was sort of the least noteworthy was Dwayne Dedmon, 9 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 of 7 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3. I wish he'd shoot the ball more confidently. I think he's kind of lost a little bit of that zip that he had last year and just kind of letting it fly off offensively. I thought he played okay, but wasn't a great Dedmon game by any means. That he was just kind of all right. Everybody else was good, which is a nice thing to talk about. And the other four guys in the lineup that were pretty darn good in this game, but Dedmon was just okay. The other four guys, though, very noteworthy, and they're all in their own rights. Kevin Huerter had 19 points, 6 of 11 from the floor, 4 of 6 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. He had a rebound, an assist, and a steal, and a block, and 4 turnovers. Turnovers is too many, obviously, but I think Huerter was pretty aggressive. I think I noticed, especially in the first half, I thought he was probably as aggressive as he's been all season long. I thought he was really, really good, not only by his standards, but just in general standards. I think Huerter just keeps impressing me more and more as the season goes along. He still has moments when he looks like a rookie, especially defensively at times, but I think his defense has been pretty darn good for the most part, and his shooting sort of played up in a big way in this game, so nice to see him kind of put it all together, be aggressive, and play like a starting caliber player for 36 minutes. That's a lot of minutes, but he definitely earned them, and he played very well in this spot. Kent Bazemore, another nice game against Dallas. You might remember in the home opener in which the Hawks had the massive comeback victory over Dallas on national television. He had his career high with 32 points this game. Not quite 32, but he had 22 points, 5 rebounds, one assist, and 2 steals for Kent. He was 8 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3, and 3 of 5 from the free throw line. You know, normally I think he would have been the best player on the court for the Hawks. We'll talk about John Collins and Trae Young a little bit in a second, but Bazemore was really good, especially in the first half. He was by far the best player, I thought, in the first half of this game for the Hawks. Baze is just good most of the time, but he was very good in this game, and it probably will be a little bit overshadowed with good reason by the play of Young and Collins, but Bazemore was very, very good. Trae Young, I thought, was excellent by his standards, especially 24 points, 10 assists, and only two turnovers for Trae. He had 2 steals as well, 11 of 20 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3. It was his most productive game and his most efficient game since late October. So obviously, November was a month to forget for Trae Young in a lot of ways. I get a lot of people in the comment section, especially at PeachtreeHoops.com, that want to point out how bad he's been, and I understand that. His numbers are bad. As a rookie point guard, he's going to be bad for most of the season. Something I've been saying quite a bit. But he was actually good in this game, offensively especially. 24 and 10 kind of speaks for itself, but it wasn't just that. He was making the right play over and over again. He got in the lane when he wanted to. He finished over contact. He was 9 of 14 from 2. That's very, very good. And just in general, I thought Trae Young was very good. Defensively, he's never going to be good by any means. I thought he gave good effort. Again, as I mentioned before on the podcast earlier, I think Dallas targeted him as they should. Opposing teams, they're smart and well coached, like the one with Carlisle on the other bench. They're going to target him, and they should do that. That's something that Young is going to be a target for a long, long time. Even when he gets better, I think he's going to get better, at least by degrees. He's going to get targeted, and I thought he held up okay. He wasn't just getting obliterated most of this game. There were moments when it was bad because it's going to be sometimes, but I thought Young competed very well on the end of the floor offensively, really played well here. So one of Trae's best 3 games of the season, I think. Maybe top 5 if you want to be more conservative. I thought Trae was very, very good here, and it's a nice sort of spot to move on from him in terms of just banking on that for to be a building block for the future. Trae was very good, and the Hawks fans could take solace in that, in a high profile matchup against Doncic and all that fun stuff. Last but not least, John Collins, 20 points, 17 rebounds for John. He had 5 turnovers, which is too many, but 10 of 22 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, including 1 bad miss, but still, I thought he played very well, 0 of 1 from the free throw line. I thought he got beat up quite a bit, and I wish he would have gotten some more calls. It was a career high for Collins in his offensive rebounding with 9, also 5 straight double-doubles for John. That's his career longest streak. So a lot of career highs falling for John. His streak of career high points did fall in this game, unfortunately. But 2017 kind of speaks for itself. He was very good. I wish he would have gotten some more benefit of the doubt calls. But aside from that, I thought Collins was very, very good. And it's one of those games where the Hawks lost his spot. But if you talk about just moments to move forward from John Collins, from Kevin Huerter, from Trae Young, that's kind of what matters more, honestly, than the result. So if you can tell me those 3 guys play well, it's going to be a good night for Atlanta, and it definitely was in this game. Oh, by the way, Kevin Huerter, a career high for 19 points. I think I failed to mention that earlier, but a career high for Kevin. So, congratulations to him on his career best effort with 19 points on 11 shot attempts. That's a very, very nice night for him as well. So Big picture, a loss for Atlanta. They'll be on the road again Friday night against Boston. That's a tough spot because Boston is turning it up a little bit right now. They're starting to play like they're supposed to play, and that's obviously a very difficult situation for Atlanta to go into on Friday night. But definitely encouraging performance from the Hawks here. After that, they'll be in Brooklyn on Sunday. It's a winnable game, I will say. Friday night probably not going to be super winnable unless Boston sort of lets them hang around there. But you know, with the way the Hawks played tonight, there's reason to believe that they can hang around in that game on Friday. So we'll see what happens there. In terms of the podcast schedule moving forward, I'm going to take Friday morning off. We'll come back Friday night for a Saturday pod because of the game on Friday night. So just the logistical stuff there. We'll see you guys again on Saturday morning. Please subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate everybody that went ahead and did that already, but you can go ahead and do that via a number of podcast platforms, whether it be Apple Podcast, Stitcher, you know, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, all those spots, player.fm. There's lots of different places you can find podcasts. We should be anywhere that you want us to be. If we're not there, please let me know that and I will get that fixed. But please subscribe. Please tell your friends. Please rate and review. And we will see you guys on Saturday morning.